Speaking of voting, by the way, Ralph has been complaining lately that he thought we did away with the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, but one of our great Kevin Amin listeners went back to the tape where we had a scientific survey, and he says the ruling was to keep it, ladies and gentlemen. And the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices...
It was a rigged vote.
The Wheel of Bad Animal Voices apparently is here to stay. After a couple of years hiatus, it is back. And Ralph, I know you're a big fan of this feature.
It's the best.
You don't. I think the problem here is you don't understand what's happening.
You're right. I understand.
Is we
to me?
In the news, there are often humorous stories.
Stories in the news. Okay, let me write
stories,
this down. There are stories in the news.
That feature animals.
Animals are in stories.
So we put them on a wheel and we spin
there
it.
There is a wheel.
And then we call and do a follow-up interview
wheel
with somebody
in
associated with that story and hilarity ensues.
Animal hilarity.
Kevin, what kind of stories do we have on the wheel this morning?
We have the home-wrecking penguin. We have Mia, the dog that tried to murder her owner with a knife.
Ralph, that's funny.
I'm with Mia.
We have the human-faced pig with a penis on his forehead.
All right, now stop right there.
A penis on his forehead.
Don't ever take that one off the wheel, by the way.
No, we're not going to.
That's going to be
special. We'll take it off when we land on it. Not until. Let's see. Dave, the UK's biggest earthworm in heaven.
Now, Ralph, why wouldn't you want to hear from Dave, the UK's biggest earthworm in heaven?
The biggest earthworm in heaven?
Yes.
Is there a bigger earthworm on Earth or in hell? Do you know?
We won't know until we talk.
We talk the biggest earthworm in heaven.
It's the UK's biggest earthworm in heaven.
Can we guess what the top 10 big animals in heaven are?
Also on the wheel is a high-flying octopus.
A high-flying octopus?
Yes.
Now, that intrigues
me. I bet it's high-fiving. I'm guessing it's high-fiving,
exactly.
Kevin.
Yes.
Turns out it's high-fiving, but it's not a high-flying octopus at all.
Thank you.
The high-fiving octopus?
Does he fly at all? Does he even fly low? Is there a low-flying octopus on your list?
We won't know until we talk to him,
Ralph. See, Kevin, he's got so many arms that's funny with the fiving.
I don't. The baby iguana that escaped death in a snake den. And my favorite, cows that text you when they're ready to bone.
A cow!
Come on.
He's a cow and he texts.
Yes!
Come on, cow.
When it's ready to do it.
It's cow.
Now, do I spin the wheel or do I play the theme?
Play the thing first.
Okay,
America
play the
is
thing.
Great again.
All right.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad.
It does crack me up that we turned on this bit, and then a listener had to correct us and say we voted. That's insane.
And I have so many mixed feelings about what I'm hoping for here, because I want to talk to that flying octopus.
It doesn't fly. It's actually high-fiving.
Really? I heard it flew.
Yeah, that guy said that wrongly.
And the cows with the texting, that's fascinating to me. And the earthworm in heaven, I just have mixed emotions.
Ones.
All right, let's spin the wheel and find out who we're going to call here.
That was a good spin right there. That felt good.
Good elbow grease there.
The home-wrecking penguin.
Oh, the home-wrecking penguins.
We actually have a news report on that.
I do know a little bit of something about the home-wrecking penguins.
Okay.
Because this is from a National Geographic show, and apparently this has just taken over the internet, because this is a three-way love triangle between two males and a female, and they fight it out to win the affection of the lady. And here's something from the special.
This husband has come home to find his wife with another penguin. He flips out. His strategy is simple. Batter the home wrecker until he flees. Stalemate. The love rivals call to the female to let her decide the victor. She chooses the home wrecker. The husband stands to lose the mother of his children. He follows them home. This fight isn't over yet. With the home wrecker hiding in the burrow, the only way to get to him is with a beak attack.
Oh.
Penguins usually use their beaks to gouge their burrows. Now, they are gouging out eyes. He makes one last plea to the female. But she's got no time for losers.
That is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
She's the Donald Trump of the penguin world.
Remember that whole penguins mate for life BS?
Yeah.
Nope.
It is tough being a penguin these days. All right, we asked Dave, believe it or not, in the last 60 seconds to please get us somebody on the line to talk to about the home-wrecking penguin. Hello there, who's on the phone?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter. What part of the love triangle are you?
I'm the penguin.
Right.
But there's three of them.
There are three of them. Which one are you?
I'm the husband penguin.
Oh.
Peter.
So you're on the out.
Yes, and I'm happy to hear
that two penguins fighting is the saddest thing you've ever heard.
It is.
I'm glad to hear that.
Look, I don't want...
That confirms for me how deeply damaged you are.
I don't want animals pecking out other animals' eyes. That's
horrible.
As long
as it's the saddest thing you've ever heard, that makes everything worthwhile.
Look, it must have been pretty sad for you to come back to the...
It was awful. I was coming home to Mildred.
Mildred, yes.
And I thought we were very happy. We'd be together for life.
Right, yeah.
And then I find her with this other penguin, and I said, no, sir, I'm not going to put up with that.
Now, is this a normal thing in the penguin world?
Not to the best of my knowledge,
okay.
No, but I only know the penguins in my neighborhood.
Sure, okay.
Peter,
I'm not privy to the penguins all around the world. I can't control everything every penguin does.
Okay.
Were there any signs? Did you have any inkling what you were coming home to?
She was distant. And when I would walk into the borough, she'd often hide her texts on her phone.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, something's
Peter.
Going on.
She was going to the gym a lot and losing a lot of weight and
yeah.
in shape, but I didn't understand that.
Wow.
And I knew I had to fight him and take him on to prove that I was the emperor penguin, if you will.
Now, it sounds like you did fight him.
I did. I pecked him. I pecked him like, and then I took my wings up and,
Right.
And in the end, it was all for naught.
And that, what you just described, is the saddest thing Bean has ever heard.
Well, two penguins fighting is the saddest thing in the world. Let's face it. There's nothing sadder than two penguins who fight. That's a fact.
Spot on.
So then you look to your wife and you're like, come on, all our years together, Mildred.
What about the children, Mildred?
What about the children? Who's it going to be, him
what
or me?
What about the eggs and those little children I carried on my flippers for 6 weeks? Well, I gave them pebbles or
right.
whatever the F penguins do.
and then she went with that homewrecker, Peter.
Oh, I'm so distraught, but I just need to start over.
Start
I'm
over.
Leaving. I'm out of here. I'm going to take off. I have booked a flight on an octopus. I'm going to get the hell out of here on a high-flying octopus.
Octopuses actually don't fly.
Oh, this is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yet on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ on The Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, you ready?
No.
Why no? This is going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. She's a very personable young woman. She is Dr. Sandra Lee. She is a Southern California dermatologist. She's got a practice in Upland. And I know that we were late to the party on her YouTube channel because millions of fans from around the world have been enjoying her videos because she, ladies and gentlemen, is Dr. Pimple Popper.
And now I can't sit. Don't care how you do it. You know I'm not fussy. But I need help. It's big and red and pussy. Pimple popper.
Okay. All right. I don't know that we needed the sound effects. That brings it pretty close to home. Hey, Dr. Lee. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I love the song. That's
yes, awesome. You got your own jingle already. Not many guests
yes.
get a jingle right out of the gate, so congratulations.
I know. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you that it was a friend of mine who tipped me off to your YouTube channel. I am sorry that I was completely ignorant of the fact that there are papaholics out there who find it relaxing and soothing and somehow deeply satisfying to watch other people have their skin conditions taken care of. Can you at all explain this phenomena to me, doctor?
Well, let me tell you, it's a shock to me, too. I mean, this really just started about a year ago where I started to post pimple popping on my Instagram and on my YouTube channel, and it has blown up. I mean, we've got a million subscribers now on YouTube and on
wow.
and on Instagram, and it was like in the hundreds.
So when you posted those videos, were you just trying to educate people as to what a dermatologist does, or to give them tips on things to look forward to, you know, to look for on their own
yeah.
skin that might be problems?
Well, you know, I thought on Instagram I'd show people a little window into my world as a dermatologist. You know, I think the things that I do are pretty interesting, and I think people would be interested in, you know, learning about the skin or things in general. But I had noticed in the beginning when I first posted a blackhead extraction that it got a little jump in views. And what happened then is I posted a video on YouTube, and then I got even more views. And then I found out that there is this whole subculture, this whole community of people who just love watching popping videos.
Okay, here's the thing. I thought, well, these people are obviously freaks because this is disgusting. And our phone lines lit up, and I got texts from friends, upstanding citizens in the community that were like, I watch this all the time, Allie. You have no
They're
idea.
They're amongst all of us, and I think... Interestingly, I think about at least the people that watch my videos, three quarters of them are female. And there's a lot of males that watch too. And I think it's very interesting. They're all among us. And I would guess about maybe 10, maybe 20% of the world likes it. It's all over the world.
What's the most popular?
It is fascinating.
Is it the cis with
the blackheads? Are the
really?
Blackheads are.
We call those the soft pop. Because they're like the more milder. There's no blood. It's not surgery.
Sure.
You know, the blackheads that come up because they're like snowflakes. There's never one.
They're not like snowflakes, doctor. They are not.
Yes,
no.
They are. Wait, you know what? You start with a nice Mr. Wilson or Pops. There's some famous people like on my YouTube channel that have amazing blackheads. And
amazing blackheads are words I've never heard put together.
And he has a name. That's his real name.
They have names. Yeah, because, you know, they actually, what happens is it's sort of like you when you watch them, you hear our conversation too, and people get to care about these people.
Yes,
too.
You are not one of those doctors who ignores her patients. You have lots of chit chat with them, and they seem to enjoy that. I think it's a social visit for a lot of them to come see you, Dr. Lee.
Yeah.
I was so surprised going through your channel about how many people have bonded over this. I mean, you read a letter the other day about some people that met, and the way he knew that this was the woman for him is that they realized they both love your videos, and that's kind of what brought them together. And he was asking you to send us a photo that he could give to her for Valentine's Day.
I know. But can you imagine that if you really secretly really liked this and you watched it every night, and then you discovered that your best friend or someone that you were somewhat close to also did the same thing. Don't you think that would make you pull you together? Even more, it's like you share this wonderful secret.
I guess.
Thing that makes it, you know what it all comes down to is it really makes everybody happy. I mean, it just makes them, I don't know, it has a feeling of completeness, I guess, that people feel that their face is clean or their skin is clean. And you know, so many people watch it before they go to sleep. That's like one of the big.
That was a surprise. That was a surprise to me because that sounds like that sounds like the stuff of nightmares, doctor.
Well, you know, ask people. I'm not sure exactly why, but they just feel that it's very relaxing, especially if they're anxious or they're about to have a panic attack. Even some people watch my videos, and it helps them to feel better.
I think you're on to something because I was trying to figure out why people use the word relaxing over and over again. I think you're right in that it's like having a spick and span clean kitchen counter. You just feel good about going to bed knowing that everything's picked up and everything looks good. And that's the satisfaction they're getting from seeing other people walk out of your office with skin in such great condition compared to when they walked in.
Right. And, you know, people, too, that have conditions where they have compulsions to pick their own skin. You know, a little OCD that actually helps. This actually helps them too. They say they didn't pick their skin.
Unbelievable.
Because they'll watch it. So it's really interesting, isn't it? It's just I find it very interesting.
So blackheads, acne, cysts, warts. You do Botox and fillers and liposuction.
Right.
Are there a lot of patients who don't want to be filmed?
Most people, 99% of people say yes. In fact, people come from far. People have come from London, from Saudi Arabia, from across the country. For me to pop their
I think it also
it's
helps
crazy.
That you're an attractive, younger
Very attractive.
Doctor. So
yes.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think I just try to show my personality on my videos, and I try to make people feel good about themselves and feel happy. And really all this is about trying to, I mean, I'm not feeling like I'm going to be Dr. Pimple Popper for the rest of my life here. I'm trying
that was to, a that was you know, brilliant marketing, though, for you to come up with that name. Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm just trying to show people, maybe educate them about their skin, maybe have them learn a little bit about how amazing dermatology is.
Well,
and along the way, they get to watch some pimples pop. You know?
I was certainly surprised. I know I'm late to the party on this. I was certainly surprised how popular your channel is. By the way, the YouTube channel is just under Dr. Pimple Popper, and the website address for Dr. Lee's practice in Upland is drpimplepopper.com. It is awesome that you agreed to come on, Doctor. Congratulations on the success of the channel, and thank you so much.
I'll dedicate a pop to Allie.
Oh, thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please do. That's very kind
I
of
will.
You. Bye-bye now. I'm so glad we get a chance to talk about this today because when I think Ralph brought it up a couple days ago about this this guy in New York who developed a pizza box made out of pizza.
Yes.
So the pizza is delivered, and the pizza comes inside a pizza box. And, Allie, you had many questions about how this would work logistically.
So many. Because I mean, if it's going to your home, how do you transport it so it doesn't get dirty? It's actually a box that's edible. So
right.
Where do you put it so it's not, like, sitting on a seat? It just doesn't seem sanitary.
It seems like the greatest idea in the world because anything that gets more pizza into my belly is a good one. So we thought we'd talk to the genius behind the pizza box in a pizza. And this is Vinny from Vinny's Pizzeria in Brooklyn, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Vinny.
Hey, how you do? How you do, Kevin and Bean on the radio? Can I believe I talk to you on the radio?
We're doing fine. How are you today?
I could not be better. I make so much pizza.
Yes, you've really created quite a sensation with this pizza box. I understand.
It's something else. Hey, dude, can I believe anybody talk about my pizza so much?
Sure. You were even on the Jimmy Kimmel show this week, right?
I was. They talked to Jimmy Kimmel. Like, yo, Jimmy Kimmel. How you do, Jimmy Kimmel? He's an Italian-American, he's telling me, and he loves a pizza pie box.
Now, Vinny, let us ask you a couple of questions about that. It seems like, how does your delivery guy hold it?
With his hands.
Okay. So he has his... So I'm saying he has his hands all over what I'm going to eat?
All right, easy, easy. What do you think? What do you think? I employ like a leprosy, come and deliver you pizza? He's just a boy. He's a nice boy. You wash your hands, he give you pizza. Everybody relax.
I know what little boys do. It's just, I feel like maybe...
You know what a little boy is.
Or older boys.
What's the matter with you, lady? I don't want to talk to pedophilia with a lady on the radio. I touch a pizza box. Come on, you break my heart. You always come on. Radio breaking my heart and Vinny's heart.
You're doing this for the environment, so you're
That's
not
right.
using...
Listen, everybody has a pizza, come with your cardboard box.
Right.
You got a cardboard box, what do? A cardboard box. You take a cardboard box, you throw it in the trash.
Right.
The next thing you know, the trash is taken where? To the trash place.
Mm-hmm.
Then the big trash place all filled with cardboard. It's at the end of the world, so we know it. I'm a no feel fine.
I'm sorry, you don't feel fine.
I don't feel fine because every cardboard, you know, the pizza boxes in all the world, in one place, it's a bigger mess for the planet Earth. I love the planet like I love the pizza.
Now, Vinny, I have to ask you this because we did a story a couple of months ago about a pizzeria where they also made a pizza with pizza as a topping for the pizza.
That's
that
me.
You as well?
That's
that was
me.
You.
Oh, wow.
I put a pizza on a pizza inside a pizza box. I put a pizza on a pizza in a pizza box with my new invention, the pizza car. It comes to your house
car.
And deliver the pizza in a car made completely out of pizza. The wheels are bigger pepperoni.
Can we take a bite out of the car?
Of course you can. Come on out. To get your pizza from the pizza car and take a little nibble off the bumper, but don't eat it too much because he's got to get back to Vinny's Pizzeria and make more pizza.
I just
can't believe you can make anything out of pizza.
Anything you want to make, you'll make out of pizza.
What's
Are
that?
You hammering something?
I got a guy working in my shop here. We make a table, a chair out of pizza. You come in the pizza, eat the pizza. You sit down on a pizza. You sit down on a pizza at a pizza table. You put the pizza box made out of pizza on the pizza table made out of pizza. Then you open up the pizza, eat the pizza on a pizza.
That's a lot of pizza.
Oh, where do you see the pizza condoms I got coming out?
Oh,
no. Lady gonna love it, take care of you with a pizza condom.
Can't wait.
This is very exciting. Our guest in studio has had memorable performances in films like Straight Outta Compton and Selma and Snowden, and now can be seen every Tuesday night as part of the ensemble comedy called Atlanta on the FX Network. Ladies and gentlemen, Lakeith Stanfield has joined us in studio. Hey, Keith.
Hello.
How are you, man? Great to see you.
Chilling like a villain, man. How you be?
We saw your hat. I know we just mentioned this to you off the air, but it's been a long time since somebody has come in with a straight-up sailor's cap on, man. That is a I could not pull that off,
great.
But that is a fantastic look.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Like and you're not just playing. You actually are. You've captained a boat recently.
I have. Yeah, I have.
Would you say you captained it?
Yeah, I guess you could call it captaining it. I attempted to drive it, and it was really fun. You know,
in Southern California, off the coast here?
Yeah, in Tulum.
Where's Tulum?
Mexico.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds like a dangerous combination, Mexico plus riding a boat.
Yeah, it's even more dangerous.
With Lakeith driving it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When I'm driving it, and I think that it's okay to have a beer before I do so.
Ah.
Yeah.
Well, we're glad you're okay, and we're glad you're here. You know, we've been reading up on you, and what a fascinating story you have. And I'm particularly, you're a Southern California guy, right? San Bernardino, that area, is that where you grew up?
Yeah, San Bernardino is where I was born. I grew up in Victorville, also known as Victimville in the high desert.
Apple right. Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Spending all your weekends at the Roy Rogers Museum, I'm sure, right? That's how you came up.
I never left.
So the question I had that I was so fascinated with is it sounds like, and I want to make sure I got this timeline correct, it sounds like you got into acting, liked acting, but then left it for years until you went back to it again.
Yeah, that's what they keep saying. I left, but I didn't really leave, man. It's just that acting's hard when you're first getting up off the ground. And I didn't live in L.A. at the time, so I was just trying to figure out my life. Like, I knew I wanted to act, but I didn't really have very many avenues by which to do so. So
you were trying the whole time. It's just that necessarily the work wasn't coming.
Yeah, it wasn't coming like that. And then I didn't have means of transportation because I was hella broke. So I was just trying to get down to L.A. All the time, but it was extremely difficult. So for a long time, I went to try and do like other things. You know, I tried to work at AT&T for a little while, started selling marijuana, and through this legal marijuana plant. This dude had this big house.
He's doing air quotes for those of you.
yeah, I'm doing air quotes because it's like it's legal on a state level, but it wasn't really legal on a federal level. But this dude just had this big old house full of plants, and I would just be, you know, helping him raise them up, and it was a whole spiritual, beautiful experience. And then one day I got fired from another job that I had taken in Sacramento. And the day I got fired was the day that Destin, who I did Short Term 12, the original with, had sent me an email saying, well, we're casting for the feature of Short Term 12. So I hustled up some money, made it down to L.A., auditioned for that. When I look up, he was like crying. So I was like,
wow.
Damn, was it that bad? He was like, no, man, you got the role. And that was an opportunity that, you know, is one of the most beautiful things in my life, which is why I'm sitting here right now.
That movie is incredible.
It is great. And we were just talking about that earlier today. Yeah,
you made me cry throughout the movie, but mm-hmm. I can only imagine what the audition was like. But I read something about you where it seems like every major role now has kind of been like, oh, hey, I'm here. You ran into Donald Glover at a party. Yeah. You were dancing, and he's like, hey, I'm thinking about you for a role.
Yeah, that was a trip. Yeah, that was a trip because it was just, you know, one of those Hollywood get-togethers, and I'm just on the dance floor having fun, making fun out of that thing in any way you can because that's what you have to do when you go
it's
to
a ridiculous.
Party.
Yeah.
Make it fun. So I'm just on the dance floor dancing, and then I just, like, hear a voice from over in the corner. He's like, hey, man. Yeah, what's up, brother? And then I look up, and the light hits his hair, and I'm just like, oh, this is Gambino. What's up, man? He's like, what's up? I just have this role that I've been thinking about, and I think you'd be good for. He's like, let me shoot you an email. So he shot me an email, and I did a self-tape. And after I did the self-tape, I had to do an audition for the network. And after I did the network, then we shot the pilot.
Do you feel like this role was made for you? Because you exude some Dariusness.
I think, yeah, Darius is definitely an aspect of me. I definitely have come into the role.
Uh-huh.
I went into the role not knowing, not having a clue what it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think, and I think it was good for Darius because he doesn't have a clue what's going on at any, you know, particular
at any
time.
Point in life, right?
At least, apparently.
Yeah.
I feel like he's so deep.
Yeah.
I do, but, too. I get more Yoda vibe off of him.
Yes!
Yoda?
Yes!
Yes! I feel like he's the smartest guy in every room
Absolutely.
He's in. He just doesn't want you to know it.
But what about early in the series when he asked if the guy if he could measure his tree?
Well,
what the hell?
We don't know why.
Because we're not smart enough.
He's crazy high.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in the gray area. And that's Darius's whole universe is the gray area.
Yeah.
You know?
So when we heard that Donald Glover, who we, you know, obviously loved for all those years on Community, and you mentioned the Childish Gambino, he's a performer and everything, we heard about this mysterious new series he was doing for FX, and they were very tight with the details. They didn't tell us very much. We heard it was kind of music related, and even the promos that they ran leading up to the premiere gave away next to nothing. It was just mood more than anything. So I had no, like a lot of people, I had no idea what to expect when I tuned in for that premiere episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like nothing else on TV, Lakeith. I mean, it's you feel like it's such a unique point of view, and it's like nothing else we've ever seen before. And obviously, I mean, as an actor, that's what you look for, is a role where you're able to do something that hadn't been done a million times, right?
Yeah, I think we were very fortunate, all of us coming together when it finally came out, to see what it had become. because we really didn't even see it taking the shape that it has taken while we were in the midst of doing it.
Did Donald think, was Donald surprised?
I think we all kind of tried to have no expectations and just go into it and just, you know, work from that perspective and not really think too much about it. We didn't really want to contrive the experience. We were just like, let's go in here, let's do this, let's put our best foot forward, and just, you know, kind of like a dance when you get on the dance floor, like how we met. You're just sort of doing what your body wants to do and moving with the music. And I think there was a lot of thinking about it beforehand, but by the time we went into gear, into shooting, everyone was just partying. And then I think it just sort of came together. And that mixture made it to the more balanced version of what you see now, which is sort of a beautiful, chaotic show.
And it's like a fly on the wall with real friends is what it seems like. You know, you don't get any impression that anybody is acting or that it's even a TV show. It's like we're watching a documentary sometimes, I feel like.
Yeah, that's Atlanta. It's a really real place, which is in a really surreal place at the same time. And a lot of, you know, crazy elements come together and you find yourself in these really interesting situations there. And I think that's exactly what we have done. And I'm just lucky to be surrounded by a cast that's really great. Brian and Donald, who I just love, and Hero, the director who I get along with, and Zazie, we're all just really, you know, just cool, you know, honest, dope people to be around, and it's just been an organic experience, and you don't always get that, so I'm very fortunate to be a part of that.
And with so many shows now, if they're bringing up issues that are kind of tough to take, it feels like you're getting hit over the head with it. But with Atlanta, it's so subtle, and things are interwoven so much through the show. The show ends, and you're like, oh, whoa. That just happened on that show. Do you see that when you're reading the script? Or are you like, oh, I see what we're doing here?
Yeah, I think we all just sort of made an effort to just be real. And in reality, things don't they're not always spoon-fed to you like, oh, this is what you need to feel. This is what you need to get from this experience. Here's the experience. What you take from it is what you take from it. And we hope that you'll ask more questions than get more answers.
I feel like, but that's the goal of everybody, and very few actually hit that mark.
Uh-huh.
But Atlanta is one of those shows where it's fantastic, and you do feel like there's a lot more going on than you even understand, and it's just you hit the ground running.
Yeah, I don't even know what this show's about. I don't even know why I'm in it. I'm just here. Good luck getting something up out of me, because I don't know.
When the show debuted, it had huge numbers for FX, and it was renewed pretty quickly after that first episode, right?
Yeah.
You got a real vote of confidence from the network. Have you noticed the difference? Because you've been in, you know, a lot of movies, sometimes in smaller parts, but have you noticed the difference in your own life in terms of recognition as a result of Atlanta being on the air?
Yeah. There's not very many places I go where somebody's like, hey, Darius. I'm like, what? I got to remember that I played him. I'm like, oh, yeah. What's up, man? Say a line for them. Like, did you imagine your tree? Can I imagine your tree? You know? But no, it's really, really nice, and I appreciate all the love, and I'm glad that this character can touch people. I'm glad that I could be a character that can have people ask critical questions sometimes about themselves and still entertain them. That's awesome. I love it, and I appreciate it.
Our guest is Lakeith Stanfield from The Kevin and Bean Show here right now. He is an actor in the TV series Atlanta. It airs Tuesday nights at 10 on FX. Can you stick around? Can we take a quick break and come back with more, Lakeith?
Sure, yeah.
Right after this on K-Rock.
I can honestly say that was one of the strangest conversations that has ever been had.
Well, I know Lakeith will not be back. I know that. I know we burned our bridges with our guest.
Come on.
No, I'm just professing my love for Tillamook. And they're saying the whale is different, and I think they're the same.
Yes, we're having a whale and cheese conversation. Don't ask us to catch up. Lakeith Stanfield in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. He plays Darius on TV's Atlanta, which is on the FX Network, Tuesday nights at 10 with another new episode tonight. And you can catch up. The other episodes are on demand with a great cast, including Donald Glover, also Brian Turi Henry, who is amazing as Paperboy, by the
Paper
way.
Paperboy.
I would buy that record. I'll tell you that. I'd buy that.
It's actually really cool. I just be bumping it on the random. Like, I really like that song.
Yeah, it's fun.
I also like did you guys see the Justin Bieber episode?
Yes.
Yes.
And at the end, Justin Bieber has a song. And it's done by Donald Glover. But I love that song. I'm still trying to find that. Like, what is that? I don't know. I love it.
Who puts Justin Bieber in a show, but it's black? And it's black, and you don't even mention it.
That's the Atlanta universe, man. That's like,
it's so good.
That's us. Anything can happen. You know what I mean? We might have Trump on there, but it might be, you know, played by DMX. We don't know.
What's your favorite movie that you've shot, the experience that you enjoyed the most?
I just did a movie called War Machine with
Brad Pitt one, right?
Yeah, and Plan B. And that was just a transformative experience because I played a Marine and I had to get into shape. That's you all look, there is to that.
That's the end of my story.
This is not meant to be insulting, but you're pretty skinny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How do you, you had to really bulk up?
No, for that role, actually, like, I was buff for like a week. It was the most awesome thing. Like,
you yeah. get buff for a week?
Yeah, I was buff for a week. I was like, this is cool, but I was like, I'm not going to keep this up, so I'm going to enjoy it now. I took like 55 selfies. I was in the mirror. It was a beautiful thing.
Like, that's the only profile photo you'll use on social media for the rest of your life because that's the best you ever looked.
They don't get that one. That's for me and my personal
I see. Okay. Tell me about playing Snoop.
Straight out of Compton, yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. I just, you know, I got that role at like 10 p.m. one night.
Well, did you audition for it and how many people were there? Do you know any of that?
I auditioned for every role in the movie, like pretty much every black person in America at the time. And it dwindled all the way down to Snoop. And when I got there, there was one dude who looked exactly like Snoop. Like, I looked over and I was like, this dude definitely is going to get this role. Right. Like, I don't even know why I'm in here. And then we did like an improv session with Corey, who plays Dre. And after that, I got called at like 10 p.m. And they were like, you need to be on set at 5 a.m. tomorrow. And
that's the notice you get?
Yeah. And so I was just listening to Snoop YouTube videos and it'd be like trying to get down his all his manners and all that. And then boom, we went. And I thought it would be smart the first day to like, you know, Snoop is always high. So I'm like, you know, maybe I should hit a joint or something.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, and but don't ever do that.
So that's a bad idea.
No, because I ended up just playing Darius again.
Oh, that's right.
So your advice, if we're ever cast to play Snoop Dogg in a movie, is don't get high ahead of time.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No.
Was his, you know, he has a very specific way of speaking and rapping, which I imagine would be difficult to imitate because you also have a very specific voice. Was it tough? Yeah, very much so. Was it tough
you
for
heard
you
my
to?
Voice
Why
yet?
Are you doing this?
I'll give you my radio voice if it is what you require.
Is this ASMR videos?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
Yeah, I am too.
It's awkward.
How about the Snowden experience, Lakeith? What was that like?
That was amazing, man. We got to sit down with a bunch of these like crazy hacker dudes who had information and access to all this. Like, there were dudes who worked for the actual NSA who were there on set, like helping us out.
Did you understand most of that?
I didn't understand anything.
The hacking, nothing.
No,
Kevin saw the movie. He was like, I don't know what they were talking about.
Seriously, yeah. I mean, there's so much that we don't know.
Yeah, no, there's a lot that we don't know, and it was kind of crazy to see the scope of just like, wait, let me turn my phone off. They might be tracking me. When Darius says that, it's a little bit more real than people may realize. No, I think we were all kind of paranoid on set the whole time. I know Oliver Stone was, or at least maybe that's just how he always acts, like he's paranoid.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what it's like working for Oliver Stone. I can't get a beat on him.
It was cool. He's crazy and a genius. But he's like, you know, he's just like he's sporadic and bouncing off the walls. He got the energy like a 25-year-old. So, you know, I'm just like sitting there getting woe out just looking at him run around the set. But it was great, man. It was like I've always wanted to, like, of course, be in the presence of somebody who's been doing it for so long. So that he's just super honest. I remember we did one take where I just didn't feel confident about it because I'm an actor and I have a low self-esteem. And when I got done with the a take, I was just like, how was that? And he was like, what do you mean how was that? It was horrible. And I was just like, I was like, that's awesome. I kind of respect how like direct he was about
really?
It.
Really?
Like,
you wouldn't have rather had him said, let's do it again?
No.
I like it better.
I like it when you just come out and just be like, this is how it is and just let me know. And he just came straight.
That way you can fix it.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate it. And we got somewhere comfortable, so it's dope.
Lakeith, is your career unfolding the way you dreamed it would when you were just a struggling actor living in Victorville thinking about it?
I still feel like I'm dreaming right now, and that's partially because I'm up so early.
Yeah, it's not a good time for you.
But also because, I mean, you just never know. Everything is still constantly revealing itself to me. Like, I never would have known how it would have unfolded. So now I'll just be here and just, like, whatever happens, happens. I don't know. It's a crazy ride, and it's fun, and I'm just glad to be doing it.
Being in the moment, being open for opportunities, I guess that's the way you got to do it as an actor because you just can't tell what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, when I was a baby, I like always wanted to be on that little glowy screen when I was, you know, putting the VHSs in and watching Land Before Time. Like, I always wanted to be in that glowing box.
And now you are.
Now I am. And I'm just glad that it's something nice, you know, like this and something cool. And I don't have to be, like, stripping or something like that. You know? Which, shout out to all the strippers. Like, that's a beautiful thing.
Is it all right if I say I agree with you?
Yeah. But, yeah.
Well, our listeners know that since the week it debuted, we have been begging them to watch Atlanta because it really is so unique and so wonderful and such a great show. And please check it out on FX Tuesday nights at 10. And now pay particular attention to our new friend, Lakeith Stanfield, who plays Darius on the show. We'll look for it on the TV. Thank you so much for coming. We really enjoyed spending time with you.
Thank you for having me.
K-Rock Festival Flyaway 2016. Still doing that. 9 o'clock this morning. Get qualified for destination number 3, which is Weezer Panic at the Disco at Summer Sonic Festival in Tokyo. And you win tickets to see them when they come later this summer to the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater on August 6th. Get all the details at krock.com. Again, 9 o'clock this morning here on Kevin and Bean. Win your tickets.
It is time for...
How does the story end, my friend? Friend, how does the story end?
I like it. Very excited. It's been a while since we had one of these.
All right. Here's the story, and then we're going to ask you how it ends, and you have to guess. There is a woman who owned a house for a long time. Mm-hmm. Her friend came over. They were going to pull up the carpet so that they could redo it.
Okay.
The woman finds underneath her carpet, to her surprise, a trapdoor.
Oh, God.
Ooh, go on.
Why do you sound turned on?
Because I build a trapdoor in all my houses. So for obvious reasons.
So she opens the trapdoor, and she sees steps that are built down to whatever's down there, darkness.
Oh, God.
It, right?
I hate this so much.
Who doesn't love bonus rooms in their house, though?
How does the story end?
This is like you push the bookcase and it turns.
Right.
And there's another room behind that room.
Right, I mean, but it's a trap door in the
level.
Yeah,
that's like very that. Different.
And the steps go down and there's no light down there. And
obviously, there's dead bodies.
So the question is...
Yeah.
One of the questions is, does she go downstairs or does she call authorities or somebody else, friends?
Oh, she goes. She goes downstairs.
You have to go downstairs.
Absolutely.
Look, what part of the country was this in, Kevin?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
Okay.
It doesn't say.
It's not in my experience, and I've lived all over, it's not uncommon to have a crawl space under a house so that workmen can come in and they can get to your electrical and get to other things that run the house, get to your plumbing, things like that.
Right, but this is a staircase.
Yeah, this sounds very involved. This isn't just a little, pathway.
You don't call a friend and say, hey, I just found some a trap door and some stairs that go down. Would you mind coming over and making sure?
Oh, I thought she was with her friend.
Her friend was there, but she went down to find out what was in the basement.
I think that's the right call.
Look,
it's your house.
I've seen a lot of horror movies.
Yeah.
You do not go down those stairs.
Maybe that's part of the problem here. Look, this is her house that she's lived in for a long time, you said. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's a meth lab or something down there. She would know if there was something down there that were going
on
currently. Because you would hear and smell and know.
Well, you mean if people were still working it or whatever, but how do you know what's down there in the first place?
Like the spirits of all the dead people.
Or all the dead people themselves.
Yes.
By the way, I do love that we were about two words into this news report and Allie's already thinking murder. She's already convinced somehow someone was dead. All right. So all we know is that they pulled up the carpet and there were stairs going down to the basement.
Correct.
So your first question was, does she go down?
Does she go down and see what's down there?
Absolutely.
I think she has to, yes.
Yeah.
How does the story end?
She does go down.
Okay.
All right.
It's a brave woman.
Question two.
Yes.
What does she find?
Obviously bones. Bones of a lot.
Bones
it was
McCoy?
A dungeon. It was a dungeon.
It was a sex dungeon?
I don't know if it was involved with sex, but there are definitely
that would have been awesome.
Dead people.
So dead people.
Yeah.
That's your guess.
A lot of them, too.
Bean, a lot of them.
Over 12.
Okay. Bean, what does she find when she goes downstairs?
All right. Honestly, my first thought is there's nothing down there. It's just dirt. Okay, but then I start thinking, wouldn't it be awesome? I would love this story so much if it's Fort Knox down there. I mean, she goes down there and there's $100 million of gold bars. That's what I would love the most. So I'm going to say she found something valuable beneath the floorboards.
She found a pirate's booty.
Yes. That's my guess. I'd like to lock it in, Regis. $100 million of gold bars.
How does the story end?
No.
She does not find that?
No.
What about
she does
the dead
not find
bodies?
Dead bodies either.
Oh, okay.
She finds row after row after row of shelving, and on all of that shelving are mason jars full of...
body fruit, parts.
Fruits and vegetables. The eyeballs. Previous owner had been canning.
Like fingers. Yeah. Lots of fingers.
Peaches.
These are very different.
Okra.
These are very different answers.
Eyeballs and maybe like an animal. Like one's an animal just staring
like,
at you. Like,
more like applesauce. Yeah. Just a kind of a place to put the overflow of stuff that doesn't fit in the pantry upstairs in the kitchen.
A baby.
Bean is 100% correct. It's food. It's food.
That's bad.
So this now, was... Okay.
Now... Does she, and I already know the answer, my answer to this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you got to try something.
No, you don't.
No, you have to try.
No, you do not. That's
one of them.
No, you don't.
You have to try something.
If that stuff has been down there, so if she's lived in the house a long time and that stuff has been down there all this time, it's spoiled. It's not good. It's not still good. You don't eat it.
Come on.
Were you there?
No, but you can't.
Well, you don't know.
But you can't put peaches in a mason jar and wait 25 years and open them up and put them on your ice cream.
Well, not with that attitude.
It's your attitude, B.
Right.
That's how the story ends.
I don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
So I don't know what this whole Breitbart thing is about. Fill me in.
Breitbart is a website that has become very popular. It's been around for a number of years, but it's become very popular in the last year with the rise of conservatism in this country. And it's an alternative news site. And they have some very, very clever articles over there, like birth control makes women unattractive and crazy.
Mm. Wow.
Mainstream media strangely silent about Hillary Clinton's health. So as you can see, it's the kind of the national how Donald Trump made it cool to be gay again is an article that they posted. So it's kind of the National Enquirer version of news. And a lot of people say, hey, it's the alt-right. And that is a very popular website that really did a lot to galvanize the conservative movement that got behind Donald Trump and made him the next president of the United States. Now, there are some people who don't like that kind of journalism.
Tell me why they want to take away my Fruit Loops. Oof, that's not okay.
I don't think anyone's trying to take away your Fruit Loops. However, Kellogg's is one of a number of companies that is no longer advertising on the Breitbart News website, along with, I think, Allstate and a bunch of other companies. And Breitbart is fighting back. And they're like, look, this is discriminatory. They ought to advertise. We're very popular. We have millions and millions of readers. They're dummies. And they are asking for us to boycott Kellogg's, to no longer buy from their fine family of cereals. So I think this is a battle that's going to be played out in the supermarket aisle.
They want me to not buy Apple Jacks?
That's what they're saying.
F
don't
you.
Buy Apple Jacks because Apple Jacks doesn't support Breitbart.
I don't care.
So look, that's just a thumbnail version, and I could have a lot of the facts wrong, but we wanted to get somebody on who is in the trenches, who knows what's going on here. Lewis Cobb is our guest. He's on the line right now from a group called Control Alt Right Delete. Mr. Cobb, thank you for calling. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me.
And you are not affiliated with either Kellogg's or Breitbart. You are coming at this impartially?
We're part of an alt-right group, and what we do is we get together and we organize boycotts against un-American companies like Kellogg's, who are trying to be bigots against Americans, and they are also part of a problem that I can't really put my finger on, but I do not like it. #dump Kellogg's.
But aren't they just choosing? I mean, can't any company choose what programs and what networks they want to advertise
with? No, that is un-American.
I think it's the definition.
It's 100% American.
We are the largest conservative media outlet with Breitbart, and it's economic censorship. And so it's un-American for them to not choose to advertise on Breitbart. So I say boycott Kellogg's, which sounds like the same thing, but it isn't. #dump Kellogg's.
Dump Kellogg. All right. So what about guys like my man Kevin here, who's not gonna live in a world without Apple Jacks?
Oh well, I guess you want to eat bigotry for breakfast then. That's what your breakfast meal is.
Yeah, I like Apple Jacks a lot.
Yeah, Apple Jacks, Apple cucks. Right?
That's what you did there?
Yeah, I got a box right here. Oh, look at that blow up.
Okay.
Blew up good.
I don't think we need to bring guns into this argument. Come on, Lou.
Fruit Loops?
Fruit Loops are the best.
Fruit Poops. Right? Yeah.
Okay. But just making.
Dump Kellogg.
Right, but just making a bad pun about a cereal name doesn't accomplish anything.
Special K? Special Gay? Yeah.
These aren't great, Lewis.
Cracklin' Oat Bran?
Right.
Cracklin' Muslim Ban? Right.
talking about?
Trump's my president. Corn, Kellogg's cornflakes?
Uh-huh. Right.
More like Kellogg's porn flakes, right, you pervert?
I'm not a pervert if I enjoy porn flakes. It's just a good cereal.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Kellogg's Frosted Flakes?
Great.
Kellogg's Frosted Permit to Carry a Handgun.
That didn't work.
I'm going to work on that one. Honey Smacks?
Yep.
Yeah, good. Love it.
Honey smacks you in the face, you little bitch. Right?
No.
No.
No, not right.
Cuck. Corn pops?
Uh-huh.
Corn pops a cap in your ass.
I feel like you're getting violent for no reason.
Oh, hashtag dump Kellogg's.
Right.
Oh, Crispix? How about Brexits?
That okay, works so well. That's a bad
Rice
one.
Krispies?
Rice Krispies, sure. We like those.
White Krispies. Oh. Yeah.
By the way, if you're a Metallica fan, keep listening because we're going to give you a chance to see them as they do a block party on the Jimmy Kimmel Live show later this week. Metallica tickets. How
Very
about that?
Cool.
And speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, I should mention Wednesday is the yearly visit from Santa Carl, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah! What do those two have to do with each other?
Jimmy knows Santa Carl.
Oh, good.
He knows him, yeah. So tell the little boy or girl in your life, be sure to be listening around 8 a.m. on Wednesday for our yearly visit from Santa Carl. Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning.
I hear the after party Saturday night that you spun at was great.
It was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah, I was at the Hollywood Park Casino, and, you know, I drove by it, and they still have that old Hollywood Park Casino
yes,
up.
Right.
And I was scared because I thought it was there.
Yeah.
They actually built a whole new casino.
Yeah.
And it's like Las Vegas inside.
Yeah.
It was super cool. We pimped it out and we had about 20 to 30 K-Rock listeners there, and I had a designated driver, which was a great thing.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then everybody started buying me shots. I got so wasted. It was a great time. It was awesome. It was very cool. It was a fun event.
Well, good. I'm glad that was fun, and I'm glad you're here because we are looking back on the year that was 2016, and one of our listeners' favorite parts about the show are the DJ Omar Khan intros that he does for all of our games.
Sometimes. I would say the favorite thing.
Well, I don't know how I exaggerate that. But it's time to count down the top 10 intros from Omar Khan for the year 2016.
The top 10 Omar intros.
The top 10 Omar intros.
And I don't think I really
know.
The intros are the best thing on the show.
The top 10 Omar intros.
And now it's time to let you know.
The top 10 Omar intros.
Why do you?
You know how he always includes stuff that you don't think it's fair?
Yes.
It's unrelated.
Yes.
It's bad.
Yes.
Doesn't do that with himself.
Yeah.
No. He's a genius. Best part of the show.
Yep. How about that? Was that a real actual fart contributed by DJ Omar Khan?
Oh, yeah. You know it.
All right. So that one didn't make the top 10. What did?
It did not. At number 10, we did a game for April Fool's tickets where we play clips of deceased comedians.
Right.
You had to guess what it is, and we called it Comedy Heaven.
Come on, identify these funny peeps. Just keep in mind they're all deceased. Just name that comedian. It's time for Comedy Heaven.
Dead!
I like zero it. For effort. Zero for star.
Oh, come on,
zero
Simon.
For star quality.
Come on.
Simon. And you know what? I'm being generous.
I thought that was a fine intro.
Thank you, thank you. At number 9. We did a game called Bat Foes, and I believe we were giving away tickets to Batman v Superman.
Uh-huh.
And you had to identify the Batman villain, so this is the intro.
Bat Foes, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bat Foes, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
My favorite thing in the world, that reggaeton horn.
Sure. Yep. That puts Beer Mug in a good mood.
Yeah. He just got instantly happy.
At number 8, another April Foolishness game. You had to call in with your favorite blonde joke.
Okay.
And the best joke won. And this game we called The Blonde Leading the Blonde.
Allie is so blonde.
Twin takes to April Foolishness.
Your joke about
blonde, 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 blondes.
Cisco forever.
Cisco is forever. Come on.
I agree.
We can all agree with that.
Yeah. Cisco forever.
For cheesy.
Do you ever hit a wall, Omar, where we say this is the game and you just got nothing?
You know, I used to, yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. like get anxiety about the intros and stuff. Like now,
because we would give him stupid ass names for games, just send him on his way.
I'm not kidding. So my process now is, and it's going to sound ridiculous. You guys will give me the name or whatever, and I kind of like just let it marinate in my head. Mm-hmm. And when I'm driving or later on that day, something will pop into my head.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Or I'll listen to some music. We have this production library. Listen to some music, whatever, and then just something will just pop in. Roll with it. At number 7, we discovered that Dave is the bestest kazoo player of all time.
Sure.
And he would play melodies on the kazoo, and people call in and guess this song, and I came up with an intro called Kazoo and You.
It's Kazoo and you win some ticks, not one but two. It's Kazoo and you, come on, let's play Kazoo and you.
Kazoo!
That intro is way better than Dave's kazoo playing,
right?
At number 6, Ice Ice Movies, and I did a parody of Vanilla Ice. I forget, we're giving away tickets to see Ice Cube movie or something, but this is what I came up with.
Ice Ice Movies.
All right, stop. Turn it up and listen. Cube is back and you want to go see him. We play a movie clip that you know. You get it right, you go to the show. Will you be on top? Yo, let's find out. Come on, y'all, let's scream and shout.
Ice Ice Movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What?
Wow, that's only number 6? Yeah. That was awesome.
Thank you. At number 5, we have a game called My Name Is, and I think we gave out Clippers nicknames, and you had to give came up with their real name. This is the intro.
My name is
some NBA player.
Hi, kids. Do you like Clipper games? Do you know a lot of the NBA players' nicknames?
Yeah!
Well, come on now and show us why you came. But don't get it wrong, because you'll have yourself to blame.
Bingo!
Hi, my name is... My name is
some NBA player.
My name is
so thug.
That's
right?
Good.
You are so thug.
I am so thug. At number 4, we had tickets this year for Suicide Squad, a screening of Suicide Squad, and we did a game called Suicide Squad. And this is the intro I came up with.
Suicide Squad is a game that we'll play, and if you win it, we'll send you on your way. To New York City, you'll see 21 pilots.
So here's your chance, no need to start a riot. It's time to play Suicide Squad.
Was that singing along?
Was that the NXS Suicide Blog?
Yeah,
that,
oh, yeah, right. Suicide
Blog. Wow.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that in a long time.
I like when he starts low and sexy.
Yeah. Thank you. At number 3, we did a game called Rodney the Sommelier. And I guess, I know, I was going through my archive, and over this past year, I did about 60 intros.
Wow.
And I know. And I discovered this, and it made me laugh so hard. I guess we were giving away tickets to Bottle Rock Fest.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
So people would call in and try to stump Rodney the sommelier, and this is the intro I came up
with. Rodney likes to wine and dine. Rodney is refined. When it comes to wine, he'll take you to school. Make you look like a freaking fool. Rodney the sommelier is the game we're gonna play today. This is Rodney the sommelier.
Hey. Hey now.
I love that. At number 2, we did a game called Colorado Oh Yeah, where we had trivia about Colorado. And I think we were giving away a ski trip to Butte or something.
Okay. In Montana?
Yeah, or somewhere.
Is it Butte in Colorado? I think the place we were giving away to had some funky name
in
Colorado.
Crested Butte.
That's what it was.
Crested Butte. There you go.
Okay, right. And this is the intro.
Colorado, we love you so, so I hope everybody knows about the wonderful things you are, 'cause you're a true star. Colorado, we're coming your way, gonna see your snowboard all day. Just make sure you know.
What do you gotta know?
You're Colorado. This is Colorado, yeah. This is Colorado, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Someone approved the game where we were doing trivia about Colorado.
Yeah.
That was the thing we
did.
You
and I did.
Yep.
And that was what number?
That was number 2.
Huh. How about that?
At number 1, it's not me on vocals, but this is one of the best intros that we had all year. We're giving away tickets to see Guns N' Roses at Coachella. And we have Ali Roki.
Oh, dear.
At number 1.
This is Ali Roki. This is our game. Coachella.
Yeah.
I blacked out.
I didn't think I would appreciate Omar, but I do now.
Thanks, guys.
The top 10 Omar intros. Oh, yeah.
The specials on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:08.
Love that song, by the way. So only hear it once a year.
Yeah.
Always excited. Hey, our friend Robert Kingman, who wrote the book, The Walking Dead, if I remember correctly.
Trevor Kirkman.
Oh, it is? And yeah. It's a TV show? Oh, okay.
Isn't it amazing that he came on after I introduced him that way the first time?
Many times, too.
He's a very forgiving young man. Anyway, The Walking Dead has just been so amazing. Again, this season, we have so many questions, none of which he will answer. But that'll be in the 8 o'clock hour coming up this morning on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Let's talk about the Zero Club, shall we?
The Zero Club may be your legacy, Kevin. That may be what people most remember you for. When you finally pass away, people go, oh, Kevin, he's the one who started the Zero Club.
Here's the thing, though. I posted a picture of it saying zero, distance to empty, zero. Mm-hmm. And I said, new record, and this is no way to run a life. And then Bean brought it up on the air to mock me, and rightfully so, because it's a terrible way to live your life.
Yes.
So I thought that would be the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Bean makes fun of me, like he do, mm-hmm. and I deserve it, like I do, mm-hmm. and then we move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ralph came in and said he does the same thing.
Yeah.
And since then, I don't know, I can't tell you how many pictures of gas gauges I've received.
There are a lot of people out there driving on empty.
Yes. It's insane.
I think you summed it up best a couple weeks ago. You said, you guys, this is a movement.
This is a movement. And I don't know if it's a new movement or it's just somebody, all of the people who live this way finally have a club.
Yeah. Like they thought they'd be mocked, but instead they're
right.
Embraced. Yeah.
And what a surprise that was, because I just assumed that I was doing it wrong, and that's the worst way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm confused by it, to be honest. Not just with you, but with all the listeners who have posted their photos of their gas gauge at zero or lower on social media, because you don't save any time by waiting until you're almost out of gas to buy. I get it. I would get doing it if it saved you time. But it takes exactly the same amount of time to fill up with a quarter tank as it does with no gas in your tank.
Right, but what I'm guessing is, we also have one thing in common, and that's that we're a little bit late for things, mm-hmm. pretty much everybody that's in the club. So, like, if I'm coming to work and I leave with only enough time to get to work, now I have to do the computations in my head and say, do I have enough gas to get there? Because I don't have time.
Right.
At that point, I don't have time to get there. Right. So then you drive to work and you get there, and, you know, sometimes it gets down to one or zero. But
then do you have, when you, on the mornings where that happens, when you're leaving work after the show, do you have to then make a decision whether you can make it all the way back home without buying gas again?
Yeah, of course.
And then the process just starts over again the next day?
Because I like the gas station by my house.
Oh, my God.
So I just try to make it. But it's not a good way to live.
No.
I mean, it's a terrible way to run your life, and yet hundreds of people.
Hundreds of people.
Not only hundreds of people, they're actually writing in saying, what a rush.
Right.
So exhilarating. What's wrong with you people?
I couldn't handle the stress.
No.
I just couldn't. I'm
this
sorry.
Conversation gives me anxiety.
Yes, me too.
Here's the thing, though. I've received no tweets about people running out of gas.
Huh.
So that begs the question, is that accurate? Is that gauge accurate? Because if it says 0 miles to empty, that means I should have to be able to go less than 1 mile and it'll run out of gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't. It doesn't seem to.
Well, you're right. We're not hearing from anybody who's run out of gas. And by the way, if you do run out of gas, if you're that person who has misjudged how far you can go with what's left in your tank, are you kicked out of the Zero Club? Do we take away your card?
Yeah.
That's a good question, because to really live, to really feel that rush of adrenaline, you have to be right on the edge.
Do you take back the meggings, the male leggings that you're sending to people, Kevin?
I'm trying to get some type of merch going, but I'm having a difficulty. Now, monocle. Yeah, we did have a monocle and a fanny pack, too.
Oh, nice.
Here's a report. But the problem with this report is it says when your low fuel light comes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have differing amounts. Like, mine comes on at 50 miles.
Okay.
And then at 25 miles, And then I can set it so that it'll say how many miles left.
Mm-hmm.
So this report sounds like it's when the light first comes on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if that's the same in all cars, but it says that certain cars can go further than others, and certain people need to be more worried than others.
Okay.
Here's the report.
So you're tooling down the road when out of nowhere, your gas light goes on. You're almost dry.
Why are you yelling?
No,
ever wonder how far you can go on empty?
I've never pushed it far enough to see how far it'll actually go.
Well, your mechanic.com came up with some answers. They list 50 top selling cars, showing how far they can go once the gas light comes on.
All right, so the gas light comes on. Are you at zero? No. Right?
Right.
So I don't think this necessarily directly affects what we're talking about. Yeah. But when the gas light comes on, it does vary greatly from car to car.
People tend to forget about that little light sometimes, so they actually put a little bit extra so you won't get trapped in the middle of nowhere.
I like that guy the best.
Yeah.
Sometimes people forget.
If you have a Nissan Altima, you're good to go, at least for a while. When the warning light goes on, Altimas can go from 81 to 114 more miles.
What?
Whoa. Okay, now hold on a second.
81 to 114? Why is the light coming on?
Great question.
That's insane. Right? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, if I can drive to Barstow once the light comes on, it's no longer a low gas light.
Don't put the light on.
That's good, I guess. I'm not surprised. I'm pretty sure it's them because of the type of engine that they do.
That's good, I guess.
According to the study, Fords and Kias come in on the low end with 30 miles when the fuel gauge lights up. The Dallas County Curtis.
Yes. What nightclub is she doing this report from?
Right?
Does it say?
I don't know, and I'm not sure. But wait until you hear the end of the report, and it's just the music. She just lets the music go so we can enjoy it.
The Dallas County Courtesy Patrol says more than half their calls are for stranded drivers on empty.
Sometimes you don't feel like stopping, and you just try to get to your destination.
Courtesy patrols say they get way more empty calls when the price of gas is higher.
Now, I didn't think of that. Although it doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Just because the price of gas is higher doesn't mean that you...
You can go further.
Right.
No.
It makes no sense.
They say SUVs are the hardest to start up again and take 2 to 3 gallons just to get back on the road. So do drivers really push it when the light goes on?
I've tried to go, like, from here to Mesquite before. Yeah, I've gotten that far.
I wouldn't try it.
That's what your mechanic.com says. Running out of gas not only leaves you high and dry, but could damage your fuel system. So fill her up.
Thanks to Marcus Mumford for stopping by. That's unbelievable.
Why is that happening?
This list from yourmechanic.com, how far can you drive when your vehicle's on empty? Most cars, and they have dozens of them on here, seem to be 40 or 50 miles after the gas light comes on. So
insane.
if you're the type of person who has been panicking, thinking you had 5 miles, and, oh, my God, I better find a gas station, apparently you got all day.
Right. If it's right when the light comes on.
Right. That's
so,
right.
So let's talk to Alex real quick. Alex in Thousand Oaks. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi. You have information on how far you can drive when it's empty?
I go about 40 miles or more.
40 miles or more?
Yeah. I live in Thousand Oaks, and I work near UCLA, and I will drive with my gas light on the whole time.
And do you do it for the thrill?
I don't know why I do it.
It's the only way to live, right?
Yeah. I give my husband anxiety all the time, and I tell him I like to live on the edge.
Right.
I just don't care. I get around to it when I get around to it.
Right.
But as long as you're comfortable being in a club that Kevin is the president of, then keep doing what you're doing, Alex.
I didn't even know it existed until now.
Yes, yep. You're part of the Zero Club.
You're part of the Zero Club.
Oh, well, thank you. It feels good to be a part of it.
Thanks for the call. Comedian Brad Williams joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show, and we're going to give you some tickets for night number 2 of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That is on the way, so keep on listening. But first... The Simpsons are in the news, you guys, in a way that they've never been in the news before. You know, I think Ralph told us last week that The Simpsons have been renewed for 2 more years.
Yep.
Which will take it to 30.
Yeah, that's not bad.
30 years.
It's been on the air continuously since 1989.
The longest running U.S. sitcom of all time. Longest running U.S. animated program of all time. And The Simpsons has just changed the world in so many ways. And you got a story that I think is going to surprise a lot of people about it.
The University of Glasgow is going to offer philosophy courses based on Homer Simpson. You can take a philosophy course based on The Simpsons.
No!
I mean, he is one of the world's great thinkers.
He sure is. What's happening here? We thought we would find out when get a hold of Dr. John Donaldson, who is the professor of philosophy at Glasgow University. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
We're good.
Well, we're doing fine. Do we have it right? You're really teaching a course there at your school on the philosophy of Homer Simpson?
Ach, of course I am. Why wouldn't I be?
Well, I mean, it's just a—I mean, he's a very clever character written by TV writers, but is he a great philosopher?
Ah, he goes much deeper than that.
It does.
The things he says, they're directly related to philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And by looking and examining his complex character, we can take a better look at ourselves.
Right, but isn't Homer just a dumbass?
How dare you! How dare you say that about one of fiction's most complex characters?
Okay, what can we learn from TV's Homer Simpson?
Well, he talks about many things, of course, about family, about children.
Right.
Like he says, marriage is like a coffin, and each kid is another nail. That's true!
All right.
Also, his self-examination is beyond reproach. He talks about cartoons in a cartoon, saying, oh, Marge, cartoons don't have any deep meaning. They're just stupid drawings to give you a cheap laugh. He's talking about himself!
Okay.
Right. Why are you yelling?
Saying that
what?
He's absolutely deep and looking at his own existence.
All right.
Right, and that's interesting and all.
It's beyond interesting.
Okay, but what do your students walk away from that lesson knowing that will help them in the world?
That a life that is not examined is not worth living. That the childlike joy Homer Simpson has for things like beer and donuts are something we all can relate to. Look, he's violent, he's gluttonous, he's self-absorbed.
Right.
At the same time, you can't help but love him. What does that say about us as a people?
I think it's I'm not
sure.
It says that beer and donuts sounds pretty good about now.
You're making it too simple!
Why are you so angry?
Because you're not listening to the important side. Cartoons teach us everything.
Okay.
I'm not just teaching this class. I'm expanding the program to include lots of things we can learn from lots of cartoon characters.
Oh, like
oh,
what?
Really?
Like who?
For example, I'm doing a story on man's fear of commitment with Mickey and Minnie Mouse. They've been dating for 75 years! Why won't he marry her?
I don't know.
What's he hiding?
I don't know.
Oh, perhaps it's his... Oh, he and Donald seem awful close,
don't
they?
Oh, take it easy.
Oh, that's not... There's no reason.
They do. And Donald never wears pants.
Oh.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Easy access!
Okay.
That's why.
Or he's a doctor.
Speaking of homosexuality,
yeah.
I'll be teaching a course on homosexuality and bestiality with Shaggy and Scooby.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I don't.
Two. Oh, they're together all the time.
But...
Oh, zoink, Scoob. Oh, let's get high. Oh, let's go in the van together. What do you think's happening there?
Well, I don't think they're just friends.
Don't be obtuse.
They're not having sex.
Oh, they're still having sex.
Oh, that's not good.
We'll also talk about the history of bullying via the life of Porky Pig.
Oh,
how they mock that wee pig because he can't speak right with his little stutter. Bullying! That's what that is!
Well, okay, that's true.
America's addiction to laziness with the Flintstones.
Okay.
Oh, those lazy bastards. That fat bastard Fred Flintstone. He's so lazy. Oh, look, I made a record player with a bird's beak. Oh, look, I turned an elephant into a dishwasher.
That seems
Wash
pretty...
your own dishes!
That seems pretty ingenious, I think.
Oh, is it? Then why has he invented shoes, then? If he's so smart.
Not
a garbage disposal, that's a pelican, but he's still walking around in bare feet. Pushing a car with his feet. Why not have an animal pull the car, you dumb fat bastard? Oh, I hate Fred Flintstone so much.
It's just a cartoon. It's not real, Doctor.
I hate him.
Okay.
Oh, Wilma's way too hot for him. Oh, the things I do to Wilma.
I don't think we need to hear what
you... How about transvestite sexuality through the works of Bugs Bunny?
What are you talking about?
Through Bugs Bunny?
Oh, when Bugs Bunny would dress up as a woman. Ah, you're so hot. The things I would do to Bugs Bunny.
I don't think we need to hear this.
Oh, with that bright red lipstick and that tight pencil skirt.
Just got weird.
Oh,
all right.
I'm going to rub your lucky rabbit's foot. I am rubbing it right against my crotch.
Oh, all right. I'm very uncomfortable with this. Said, thank you for joining us. You need some help, sir.
You need some help!
Less than 1 hour away from Murder Talk Alley.
Yeah.
I wonder if the meat sweats can murder you.
Oh, that's a great question. The host of the very popular podcast, My Favorite Murder, Ali's Favorite Podcast, is going to be joining us right after 7 o'clock on K-Rock this morning. First, though, Ralph is here. And finally, we have the time to explore the bombshell that was dropped on us a couple of days ago here in this program.
This much ado about nothing.
Well, I mean, Chuck E. Cheese, to those of us that have kids that were small...
But have recently been lost.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Should I start over?
Who had kids who were small? There are kids who start off small?
When you have small children, you go to Chuck E. Cheese. And you are very...
Are you talking young children or just children who are not very... Like Chip. And Chip's a small child, but she's not young.
And you're very excited for the day that you no longer have to go to Chuck E. Cheese because that place is it's a pit of nothing but sickness and little kids and screaming.
Jeez, Kevin, who hurt you? Chuck E. touch you inappropriately?
Chuck E. Cheese is nasty.
It's awesome.
Nasty
in other
place.
Words, Kevin, you're saying it's like the terrible children's movies that you sometimes have to sit through because you have a kid. You just do it for your parent. You do it because you're
nothing
a parent.
Like that.
You don't like it.
You don't like it,
but
you
do it because you love
kid.
The kid. Right.
Nothing like that at
But as soon
all.
As the kid outgrows that, you go, I don't have to see those movies anymore.
God, right. Thank God, no more Barney, no more Chuck E. Cheese.
That's not an analogy that's proper at all, because Chucky always delivers. There's never a bad Chucky experience, although you might run into a bad children's movie. But Chucky is a guarantee.
I feel like call him Chuck E. Cheese. Stop calling him Chucky. it's confusing.
First of all, it's not Chucky. It's Chuck E.
And he's okay. A cheese. He's a.
It's not Chucky.
He's a block of cheese, right?
Mr.
The mascot
not
for
a
Chuck
block
E. Cheese.
Of cheese.
That's what I heard.
See, I'm not even having this conversation because you people are all wrong. You just misunderstand the whole thing.
All right, this is Bean speaking. Don't have kids. Have never set foot inside a Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, then, by all means, join in the conversation because you probably have a lot to offer.
So I'm asking you. Tell me what I'm missing. Tell me why it's great.
Here's the thing. First of all, Chuck E. Cheese. Most importantly, is where a kid. Can be a kid.
Oh,
okay.
God.
It's
Man.
Not just a slogan. It's a way of life.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the world's greatest mouse, Chuck E. Cheese.
It's Chuck E. Cheese.
It's time for Chucky's Happy Dance.
Happy Dance!
This is the dance I do whenever I feel happy.
Yeah.
And when I don't feel so happy,
just before the
all
big
I have
ticket
to do
drop,
is
too.
My happy dance, and then I feel happy.
That's right. Bring it, Chuck.
You guys want to dance with me?
Yes.
Great.
Let's do
it's really easy.
All right.
Just follow me. Put your hands in the air as you jump up and down. Then you bob side to side. Then you turn around.
Wow.
And give yourself a high five.
Wow.
Dancing and he knows the hand motion.
Really high and stomp your feet on the ground.
This is elaborate.
Like a worm, wiggle all over town. Then give yourself a high five.
Kevin on the cowbell.
Give yourself a high five.
And that's how diseases spread.
It's not how diseases spread. You're giving yourself a high five.
Is there a stage show?
You're not even touching other kids, you dummy.
You're getting yourself sick again.
No, you're not. What's wrong with you?
Is there a stage show?
No, I'm asking this.
But there is.
There is a stage show.
Chucky and his fans.
They have the animatronics of the band and Chucky.
Oh, there's not a guy in a suit.
There's not a guy in a suit, but there's just Chucky. Who makes his way around the restaurant and greets the kids.
Oh, I see. He's a real mouse.
He's a guy in a suit.
He is a guy in a suit. Okay.
Yeah, back to you.
For all the kids who are listening
on
their
that's
way to school,
there's a Santa.
Chuck is
and
there.
Chuck is there.
And that song is usually followed by the big ticket drop, which is a very
now,
exciting
what's that?
Moment. He'll do the Chuck E. Cheese dance, and all the kids will join in, and me. And then...
you fighting with other kids for...
Well, and then he has this giant... Chuck E. rat hands are just filled with tickets.
He's a rat now? He's not even a mouse?
Not when he drops those tickets.
Actually, he was started as a rat. And then he throws them in the air.
And then all the little kids kill each other to get them?
Wait, Chuck E. makes it rain?
And you're elbowing them out of the way?
Happening?
No, because all the kids are instructed first crisscross applesauce.
What's that? What is that?
It's when you sit on the floor with your legs crossed.
Oh, no.
And you're not standing up, so you can't start a scrum, and it's like a mosh pit, and you're going for the tickets. everybody's crisscross applesauce, and then when the tickets hit the ground, you can just roll over, and whatever's near you, you can just kind of gather them up and collect them, and it's bonus tickets. But, you know, tickets are like gold at Chuck E. Cheese.
But because you're so much bigger than the kids, you can just wipe the floor, right?
I do not participate in the ticket grab.
You just elbow and kick the little kids out of the way.
That would be inappropriate.
Those are mine.
You don't grab as many tickets as you can from your location on the floor?
I don't, no, but I do root on Olivia and give her a heads up. To your right! To your right! To your right! And there's tickets over there.
And you step on the little boy's hand that's right next to her?
No, I don't. I do not interfere. At no time do I enter into the competition.
Okay, Olivia is there. You're making that clear.
Yes, always. Okay. Yes.
So you're not there by yourself.
No, I don't just show up at Chuck E. Cheese.
Well, that was our concern.
You in a white paddle van outside the restaurant.
You said yesterday that you love it.
I do love it.
And when she outgrows it, you will continue to go there.
That was a facetious comment.
I'm not positive.
I was trying to express to you how much I love it that I am ruining the day. I am pre-sad for the day where she outgrows Chuck E. Cheese and I would no longer be able to go.
You also brought up something that I wasn't aware of. The pizza is great.
Oh, I love the pizza.
Because when I went there, it was cardboard with a little bit of ragu.
It was, that's exactly what it was. And you ate it because any pizza is good pizza.
Sure.
But it's the worst of the
pizza. He says he loves it.
You get the lactose squirts and you don't even know about cheese,
true statement.
Let alone pizza, so I'm not really taking your word for it. But if you've never had the pizza at Chuck E. Cheese, it's excellent pizza. It's excellent. It's the only pizza my wife says that she cannot resist. She will turn down pizza almost anywhere else.
No, but that's because she's at Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe you're not hearing me. She chooses when she's there to eat that particular pizza because she finds it so delicious, as does everyone in my family. So you got that going for you. And then you are in what is basically a casino for children.
All right. Let me
it
say.
It is the most fun to play those games and to earn your tickets. And then you save those tickets and then you can cash in for the big prize like my sweet daughter did when she paid 2,700 tickets for a stuffed Helen, and it's the best Helen you've ever seen.
A stuffed what?
But Helen.
What's that?
Helen, it's Chuck E.'s friend, Helen, who's, I think they may have a romantic relationship. It's never really been established, but she's a bird.
Well, how much money did you spend for those 2,700 tickets? Because I'm guessing it's $3,000.
Whatever it was a discount because Helen put a price on joy.
And Helen is worth 99 cents.
Helen is an important member of our family, and we love Helen.
Plus, when Chuck E. makes it rain, she could have gotten a lot of those tickets then.
Yes, for free, right.
And that's a bonus. But when you're there and you're playing the when you're playing the construction crane, and that drops and hits the jackpot, and those tickets just start spitting out. Yeah. Woo!
I don't even know what's happening here. Listen, Monique, please hang on. We do want to talk to you. We have to take a very quick break. We want calls
ski
from...
Ski ball. Don't get me started on the ski ball.
We want to take calls from...
By the way, I crush you all in ski ball. I would crush you all in ski ball.
We need calls from other adults. This is what we're looking for, right? Other adults who feel like Ralph does, that they love Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, other creepers.
Okay, other creepers.
Why am I a creeper? Because I take my beautiful young child to a place that
because
we both enjoy.
When your beautiful young child outgrows it, you will still go there.
I'm not saying that.
What did
you say that
520?
It was a facetious, humorous comment.
Okay, quick before we go. Full bar? Just beer.
Just beer.
1-800-520-1067. Let's get your Chuck E. Cheese thoughts. We'll talk to you right after this on K-Rod.
Ralph Garman, we may have misjudged the level of adult love for Chuck E. Cheese.
Shocking. But that you might be off base about something.
You were looking like an outlier yesterday when you were proclaiming your love for the Chuck E. Cheese. But, man, there's a lot of the Garmy on the phone right now. Well, he's right there with you.
Because it's for real, yo.
Here's what I will say is that Allie and I both have the impression, and it could have changed. We're both giving you that option. But their pizza used to be just cardboard.
Look,
yeah,
I don't know. Used to
they
be
would color it orange, but that's it.
I've only started going the past 3 years or so, and it's excellent.
According to Eric Flores on Twitter, Chuck E. Cheese has awesome pizza.
Thank you.
But back in the day, it was disgusting.
Well, there you go.
So
they've improved their recipe, and now it is outstanding.
All right, let's go to Anthony, line two, to get us going. He's in Whittier, 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for your Chuck E. Cheese feelings. Anthony, good morning. Thank you for calling. You're on the air.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Anthony?
It is all about the tickets, yo.
That's right, brother. You and me, son.
It's all about the tickets.
We boys.
Anthony, what? I mean, here's what I'm confused about. And again, this is being I've never been to a Chuck E. Cheese. But aren't the games designed to entertain little kids? Like, how challenging or skillful or interesting can they be for you, a grown-ass man?
Some of them are pretty challenging.
Yes.
You want to get your kids as many tickets as possible.
Right.
What's your favorite game?
Ski ball is a classic, but they have a bunch of little new ones. But the thing is, this is the trick. You guys walk around to the machines, and kids leave extra tickets.
Yeah, that's a.
Have
that's
you
a,
found that, Ralph?
Oh, sure.
That's a novice move right there.
Wow. Suckers.
Those are like the little crumbs that, you know.
But Anthony, at the end of the night, when you have finally gotten your kid, you know, 5,000 tickets.
What time are you going there, by the way, Kevin, at the end of the night?
at 2 a.m. when it closes.
After last call when the kids are getting in the party bus?
I don't know what Anthony does, maybe. But I'm saying at the end of your visit, when you turn in your 5,000 tickets, you get a little plastic ring. Don't you go, that cost me about $700.
It was worth that hour or 2 hours, though.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Let's go to Chris.
Sorry, Discount Dan. I didn't know you were looking to cheap out on your kid's joy, Kevin, but some of us don't mind spending a few bucks for happiness.
Let's go to Line 6. It's going to be Chris in Cyprus. He also loves the Chuck E. Cheese. Chris, how come?
Well, the best happy hour around.
There's beer.
Yes, you can bring your kids in there, and, you know, you can practically get wasted and let your kids just run around.
He's on your side, Ralph.
Yeah, you're an excellent father, Chris.
And then how do you get home, Chris, if you're drunk
the kid drives.
Off your
Don't
ass
be stupid.
With your kid? What do you do then at the end of the night?
You just got to plan your routes and, you know, make sure you go to one that's close.
So you only have to drive a short distance.
Or walking distance, Bean.
I'm sure he
don't drive a short distance when you're drunk, dumbass.
Well, I hope not. That was my fear. All right, thank you, Chris. Hey, what about this, Ralph?
And by the way, you say, aren't they simple games for children? When that construction site is spinning around and you have to drop the crane on the jackpot to get 150 tickets, you tell me how easy it is.
Wow.
Right?
What about this? What about, and I've
Kevin, have you sent Ralph to some kind of rehab for this?
I've heard you say this a million times. Other people's kids suck. What about that? Doesn't that take the joy out of the visit?
Not if you're there with your kid, but if you're there by yourself, which Ralph is going to be one day.
I love kids, especially that age. They're having a great time, and I've never had a bad experience with anybody else's kids. And the parents are also in a good mood, and you talk to them and everything. It's just a fun thing.
Because they're drinking. Because they have to be at Chuck E. Cheese and eat that pizza.
No one. Once again, the pizza's great, and no one has to be there.
Let's take Monique real fast, only because I want to get her, because she worked there, and I want to find out what the behind-the-scenes secrets
are. Lucky Monique.
Monique.
Hey, good morning.
What did you do there at Chuck E. Cheese?
I was both the best and the worst Chuck E. employee. I cried the day I left my interview because they told me now I have a career.
Wow.
It's really family operated in certain areas, but yeah, I would. I was the only one old enough to serve alcohol. All the minors were drinking the beer back in the kitchen.
Oh!
I would do the birthday parties. I would make up my own dances. I would make my friend be the Chuck E. because I refused. I'd let the kids trample her. I'd give the parents free pitchers of beer.
See, Monique's working the system. Wow!
Sounds like you had a blast.
Oh, well, I mean, it's pretty cool when you get to smoke in the parking lot before your shift. Because it's the only way you can get through. I will not step foot in the Chuck E. Cheese anymore at all, ever.
Well, you spent too much time there to ever want to go back. I get
Plus
that.
Plus, you ran an organized crime ring out of there, apparently.
But like Ralph says, it's super fun for everybody who goes, though. Parents and kids alike, it sounds like, have a great time.
Well, yeah, because you let your kids loose and you let everyone else deal with it. I've seen, like, a
That's
mom
what happens.
In her arms, like, to throw down another mom. They get crazy there.
Like the parents fighting?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had two large pizzas in my hand, arms in the air, you know, and next thing I know, I see a mom with a toddler kind of swung over her arm. She straight put her hand on another mom's face, knocked her to the ground. We had to call the police every weekend for something.
Had to call the police every weekend? I want to party at your Chuck E. Cheese.
Fun life.
Look, I don't expect you to feel sorry for me. Being a beautiful person and all. It's tough, though, sometimes because you have to mix with the gen pop. You know, you have to go out and hang out with the normals, with the ugly people.
Right.
And that's why I'm glad that this new LA club for just beautiful people is opening up, because now I got a place I know where I can be comfortable, like my own people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's why. It's just, it's nice. Well, here's a news report.
Okay.
Young love can be found almost anywhere, but young beautiful love is something else altogether.
Right?
After all, love should be segregated and judged by looks. Nobody knows this better than people in LA and members of the dating website beautifulpeople.com. Now it has taken things one step further. The managing director of the website, Greg Hodge, said their members are, quote, fed up of going out to expensive bars hoping to meet similarly beautiful people, only to spend the night wishing that the lighting was lower. So to make sure only beautiful people will see beautiful people, the website is opening its own flagship bar. Members of the site will have automatic entrance because they have been pre-screened for looks. However, if you are not a member, you can still get in for drinks if the on-site beauty police deem you up to their standards.
Okay, so I get to go in to this bar because I'm a member.
Obviously.
But, Allie, if you just wanted to show up, you would be reviewed, I guess, by a team that would determine whether you were worthy.
And if I wasn't, I would head home. If I was, I could go in for a cocktail and stare at all of you.
Exactly. Okay. So this, I think this is a, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Of course.
Mr. Hodge was not available, but we do have, as I understand it, we do have the bouncer for the Beautiful People nightclub on the phone. Let's say hello to Brick Rockhart, who joins us on KROQ. Hello, Mr. Rockhart.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good. How are you?
Hey, by the way, I'm not a bouncer, okay? Chief of the Beauty Police.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I'm sorry.
Call me Chief Brick.
Hey, Chief Brick.
Yeah, that's what you call me.
All right, so this puts you in a difficult spot then. If you're the gatekeeper for the club, you have to decide.
Why is that difficult?
Because on the spot, you have to determine whether somebody is worthwhile just based on a one-second impression of their looks.
Easiest thing in the world, bro.
Really?
I look and I go, hot, not, boom, in, out, go!
So you don't feel bad for turning people away?
Why would I? I feel bad they're ugly, don't get me wrong. I feel bad they spent their entire lives being flabby, out of shape, hideous, misshapen, trolls. But I don't feel bad about not keeping the club, because that's my job. I'm Chief Brick!
You are Chief Brick, okay. So, what's the put a number value on it. Like, do you have to be an
100!
No, but do you have to be an 8 to get to the club, or a 9? Or
100!
There's no such thing as 100 on a scale of 1 to 10, though, Brick.
Not to you, ugly face, but there are to us, the beautiful people.
All right, so it's all 100s there in the club.
That's right, 100s. If you're a 70, you're going home.
All right, but what if you're like a 95 and it's happy hour?
95, we put you in a separate room, okay?
A separate room.
We got the 100 room, and then in the separate room, it's like a separate club. It's like a lesser club.
Okay.
So you can work your way into the main club. The lesser club, instead of a dance floor, they've got like a cool sculpting center. So you go out there, and you know, we'll cool sculpt some of the fat off your love handles, your ass, your chin, or whatever you need to get into the 100 club.
Wow.
And then, you know, you can go to a cocktail, you can get a Botox on the rocks. You've got, like, a hideous face that needs to be tightened because you're hideous. And then you can order up a drink, you know, get, like, a gin and kale or something. Because you're probably fat if you're ugly! 100!
So, Brick, do you ever run into a circumstance where somebody is hot enough to get into the club, but then, God forbid, they age another 6 months and now they're past the line?
I've thrown people out because they've aged in the club while they're dancing. Get out, old ugly people!